Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bava Metzia Daf Pei Aleph Amud Bet, in the middle of our analysis of the Mishnah. And after we do the first paragraph, we will go back to the Mishnah and Pei Amud Bet to look at Mishnah Zion that was put together with Vav and study it. And then we'll look back at the analysis beginning at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Bet. First, Shmor Li V'Amar Lo Hanach Lefanai Shomer Chinam. So the Mishnah says that if a fellow says, watch something for me, and the other guy says, put it in front of me, then the fellow said, put it in front of me, is considered a shomer chinam. In other words, he accepted shmirah. Amar Rav Huna, amar lo hanach lefanecha. But if the guy on the other hand says, put it in front of yourself, ain't lo shomer chinam v'lo shomer sachar. He's not accepting any responsibility whatsoever. Good, that's Rav Huna. Aybayalu, hanach stam amai. What if the guy just says, put it down, without saying lefanai or lefanecha? What's the status? So we're going to try to infer from our Mishnah and from Rav Huna, and we'll go in opposite directions. Toshma, Shmor Li V'Amar Lo Hanach Lefanai Shomer Chinam. So our Mishnah says that if you put it in, say, the guy says, put it in front of me, that makes you a Shomer Chinam. What's the implication? Hastama V'Lo Klum. So the Stam is that if you just say Hanach, that it's nothing, meaning you're not a Shomer at all. Adarabba. From Rav Huna's psak that says Hanach lefanecha. When I say watch it for me, and you say put it in front of yourself, that's when there's no liability. Hastama shomer chinam have. But if you just said Hanach, you are a shomer chinam. Between the Mishnah and Rav Huna, we're not going to be able to solve it because the implication of one contradicts the implication of the other. So now lema ketanoi. Perhaps this entire issue is a machloket tanaim. This goes back to the middle of Bava Kamma, about liability for things that happen in somebody else's yard. If you put stuff in somebody's yard with his permission, then chayav, then he already accepts shmirah implicitly. Rabbi disagrees and says, you're not liable if you own a yard and you say to somebody you can keep it there until you explicitly say, and I'll accept shmirah. So it sounds like the issue of hanach is a machloket tanaim. No, mimai, who says, Dilmad kan lo kam rabbanon hatam ela b'chatzer. Maybe the rabbanon there said yuchayev because it's a chatzer. Tabat neturehi, it's a guarded place. So when you say put it in here, the implication is I'll watch it. V'chika amrle ayel, ayel de interlach kamrle. When you say bring it in, you mean bring it in and I'll watch it. Because it's a guarded place, it's locked. Havalhacha shuka lav bar neturehu. But here you're out in the shuk. That's not a guarded place. So when I say hanach, I just put it down. Anach v'tiv natalach kamarle, meaning the guy said, put it down and watch it. Inami adkan lo kamar Rabbi, and flip it. Rabbi perhaps only said that you're not liable till you accept explicitly in the yard. Hatav lo chatzerot, it's your own yard. The ule reshuta kaboy lemishkomine. The guy needs permission just to come in. So when he asked permission, you said, okay. You weren't saying you were accepting responsibility for watching it. You were just giving him basic permission to come in. When you said you can come in, you meant you can come in and, you know, watch your own stuff. Clearly, in the shuk, when you say hanach, you mean hanach, and I'll watch it. If you think it means you could put it down and you have to watch it, the guy has to ask permission to put something down in the shuk in your presence? Of course he doesn't. So therefore, when you said hanach, the implication is, may have been that you accept responsibility, which means we neither can solve it from our Mishnah versus Rav Huna. We can also not solve it and assign it to one of the opinions of Rabbanan or Rebbe, because it could be that either opinion would play with this. Okay, please go back, as I mentioned, to the Mishnah that's on Daf Pei Amud Bet, or if you have the Mishnayot, you could take a look at Mishnah Zion in our Perek. Helvahu al mashkon, if a fellow lent money with a mashkon, shomer sachar, then the guy sitting on the mashkon, the lender, is a shomer sachar. Rabbi Yehuda omer, helvahu ma'ot shomer chinam, helvahu perot shomer sachar. If the loan was a loan of money, then the guy watching the mashkon is a shomer chinam. If, on the other hand, he lent goods, perishable goods like perot, then he's a shomer sachar. We'll see why. Abishalom omer, mutar adam laskir mashkono shel ani liot posek alav holech meishu kemeshiv aveda. Abishol, as an interesting take, that we'll only look at one line in the end of the Gemara about this, says that if a person has a mashkon of a poor person, he's allowed to rent it out and then deduct from the debt as it goes along, because it's sort of like being Meshiv Aveda, helping out this Ani to erase the debt. Okay, in the Gemara, back on Pei Aleph Amud Bet, V'amashkon Shomer Sachar. So Leima Nitzin Lo K'Rabbi Eliezer. It sounds like our Mishnah does not comport with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva about the following. The Tanya. If I borrowed money from you, and I gave you a mashkon, and the mashkon was lost, Yishavavi Tol Ma'otav, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, the lender takes an oath that he wasn't neglectful, and he collects his money. In other words, the mashkon does not stand in lieu of the debt. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yachol Lomar Lo Klum Hil Vitani El Al HaMashkon. The borrower could say, disagrees, says, the borrower can say, you lent me money based on the mashkon. Avad mashkon, avdu ma'otecha. The mashkon is lost, so is your money, and I don't have to pay you anything. Avahavahu elav zuz b'shtar, but if the loan was written into a shtar, which means there's already shibud kakarot attached, v'neach lo mashkon aleim, and then you gave him a mashkon, divrei hakol, avad mashkon avdu ma'otav. Then, for sure, the mashkon was set up to identify payment, and if so, the mashkon is there for collection, and if the mashkon is lost, the money is lost, the debt's erased. Now, afilu tem Rabbi Eliezer, so it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer cannot conform with our Mishnah. Afilu tem Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo kasha, kan mishkano b'shatal v'ato, kan shemishkano shelo b'shatal v'ato. It works as follows. If I give you a mashkon at the time of the loan, so the mashkon can be operating just as some sort of a security. If I, on the other hand, I give you the mashkon later, you come to collect, and I say, I don't have the money here, take this, it's clearly assigned for collection. So it could be that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of saying that the lender takes an oath and collects his money is when the mashkon was made at the time of the loan. But if the mashkon was made later at the time of collection, maybe he would agree that it stands in lieu of the money, and if it's lost, then you collect from that, and you have a din of a shomer sachar. But you can't say that because both our Mishnah and the Bright of Rabbi Eliezer use the same wording, which sounds like it was done at the time of the loan, not later. So we can make the following distinction. If the loan was a loan of money, then that's when Rabbi Eliezer says that the guy can collect from you, can still collect from you even though it was lost, because you're a Shomer Chinam, following Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. But if the borrowed payroll, then he's a Shomer Sachar. But you can't say that our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, would agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Yehuda comes and disagrees with the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and says, and makes a distinction between Perot and Maot. So the answer we could give is Kula Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, Chasur Mechzer Achiktani, as we've seen this a couple times recently, that perhaps the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and there's something missing, which reads as follows. Hilvau l'mashkan shomer sachar, medzvah memorim shilvau perot, ma'o ma'ot shabachinim shabach Yehuda omer, ma'o shabachinim shilvau perot shomer sachar. Maybe the entire thing is Rabbi Yehuda, and we immediately distinguish between mashka, between ma'ot and perot. So yachi kamalam anitin lo k'Rabbi Akiva. But then we've ended up coming half circle, and we said in order to defend that our Mishnah support is, could fit with Rabbi Eliezer, we now have a Mishnah going against Rabbi Akiva, which we're far less comfortable with. Alamichvartam anitin lo k'Rabbi Eliezer. We have to conclude that our Mishnah really does not sit well with Rabbi Eliezer. Now, leim abdolo shavi mashkon shir zuzi. Maybe the machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is only when the mashkon is not of the same value as the loan itself. The Bishmuel can be Paul again. They're disagreeing about whether to accept the psak later announced and later expressed by Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Haim on Dosfei Alpha Zuzi the Chavre. If a guy lends $1,000 to his friend, and he put a very inexpensive mashkon for it, some sort of a tool or something. Avad kata de magla avdu alfazuzi. Even if the mashkon, which is very inexpensive, is lost, the money's lost. Which means, according to Shmuel, once you've got a mashkon, that represents the entire debt. And if it's lost, then you don't. Then debt is erased. So no, even a loshav mashkon shir zuzi kuli amalate luda Shmuel. Nobody except Shmuel in the case where the mashkon is not worth the debt. V'achav loshavish shir zuzi. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva are disagreeing about a case where the debt is really worth the mashkon is worth the debt. They're disagreeing about whether to accept the psak of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, famous statement. How do I know that the Baal Chov takes possession and really owns the Mashkon? Shnemar, when it says that you should return the Mashkon to the Oni at night, as bedclothes or whatever, Shnemar ulchati at staka. It's considered staka for you, the fact that you're giving it to him. You know, kona Mashkon staka manale. But if you don't really own it, there's no big stock in giving it to him. It's his. It must be that you own it, and therefore it's considered stakat. Kana b'chov, shkona mashkon. V'tispra, think about it. Eimor dam Rabbi Yitzchak mishkono shlo b'shat halvato. Rabbi Yitzchak's ruling is only about a mashkon that happens later. Meaning, you lend somebody money. He couldn't pay it up on time, so he gave you a mashkon. That's where l'chati et stakat. Shkono b'shat halvato mi'amar. But even Rabbi Yitzchak would not say about a mashkon set up at the time of the loan that it belongs to the lender. The answer is everybody accepts Rabbi Yitzchak when you take a mashkon later on at time of collection. The machloka of Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva is a mashkon taken at the time of the loan. Over Shomer Aveda Kamipagi, they're disagreeing about the status of a Shomer Aveda because a Shomer mashkon is like a Shomer Aveda. Why the Itmar? Shomer Aveda, remember this? Rabba Amar Kashomer Chinam, Rav Yosef Amar Kashomer Sachar. If you're watching an Aveda, Rabba says you're a Shomer Chinam, because after all, you're not getting paid to watch it. And Rav Yosef says you're a Shomer Sachar. Why? Because while you're Osik in the midst of taking care of the Aveda, you're Pata from Tztaka. So Lema Rav Yosef Tanoihi. So now you're going to argue that Rav Yosef's Psak, that you're Kashomer Sachar, is really machloka tanaim of Rabbi Eliezer and Bekiva? So lo, b'shomer aveda kuli amei idluhu to Rav Yosef. Everybody accepts Rav Yosef when it comes to a real aveda. V'hacha b'malva tzarech l'mashkon in palgi. We're talking about a situation where the malva really wants to use the mashkon. Mar sovr mitzvah ka'avid shilvahu. Rabbi Eliezer says that you did a mitzvah because you lent him the money. Have a shomer sachar, right? Sorry, this is back in our Mishnah. The Tanakama maintains that Amar Sabra lav mitzvah ka'avid shelahana tomid kaven v'ave shomer chinam, right? And Rabbi Kiva holds that there's still a mitzvah involved because you lent him the money, and therefore you're a shomer sachar. And Rabbi Eliezer holds no, there's no mitzvah involved because after all you lent him the money because of your own hana, and therefore you're a shomer chinam. Alright, and therefore you just take an oath that you weren't Poshea, etc. Now, Abba Shaul Omer, Mutar L'Adam L'Askir Mashkono Shalani L'Yo Pochet V'Olech. This was, remember, at the end of the Mishra, Abba Shaul said that you could rent out the Mashkon of an Ani to help reduce the debt. Chambra Ami Amar Shmuel Lochak Abba Shaul. Yeah, we rule like that. But, V'Af Abba Shaul Omer, but even he only limited it to, V'Maro Pasol Kardom, tools, a rake, a shovel, etc. V'Nafi Shigrayu V'Zutar Pichtayu. They bring in a lot of money, and they don't depreciate very much. But if you have something that's just fragile, where you can't get a lot of money for the rental, but it's a good chance it's going to break, then you don't have the right to rent it out, even to help the owner reduce his debt. Okay, we will pick up Emir Tashem in the next podcast, a very short podcast, to finish the parak on the next Talmud. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.